There is a prophecy that is given and comes into being at that time that's meant for that time. There's prophecy that's given that is yet to be fulfilled. There are many, many prophecies in the Bible that have already come to pass, but there are some that are still waiting to be fulfilled. They're in a future time. And then we find also that there is some prophecy which is relevant at a particular time, but then becomes relevant again at a future time. And that's the kind of prophecy that we're looking at here today in this particular part of Isaiah. Through our Advent services, we're looking at the theme of light. Last week we thought about light in creation. This week we're thinking about light in the past. Next week will be light in the present. And then the final week will be light in the future. But the prophecy that Isaiah gave was many hundreds of years ago before the birth of Christ. And yet we find, as Alison reminded us last week, that even though it was 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah was the one who prophesied that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So Isaiah himself prophesied during the years 740 to 680 BC. And during that time, his book is he's called one of the major prophets. It's quite a thick book, and it's divided into three different sections. And the part that we're looking at this morning comes from that third section. It was written at a time that would speak to the people who were returning from their exile in Babylon. Those people would have recognised it and found it a tremendous source of encouragement for them that they would come back. And those of you that have been reading through Bible, a book in the Bible a month, having read Ezra and Nehemiah, know about that period in the time as the exiles were coming back in. And here it was saying that your sons and your daughters will come back, and promising tremendous things. And the people at that time took hold of it and thought this is going to be wonderful. But actually, that wasn't the fulfillment of this prophecy. Although it gave them encouragement, we know that that isn't how it was to be. They weren't full at that time. But still, we're looking for it. And we find that now also this passage speaks to us in our time. So, what is it then? You might be sat there thinking, well, I can't really think much about it, but here, let's have a go and see how we go. First of all, that first verse, arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine. These are commands, they're doing words. Here, God is commanding his people to live for his glory. Arise, not sit about on our backsides, but arise, get up, do something. Not passively sitting there and allowing God, allowing things just to happen to us, allowing life to happen around us, but actually to take some control in that. Arise. Be responsible. Be responsible ourselves for the life that God has given us and what it is that we are doing with it. And so these commands should cause us to look very carefully at how we live our lives. Arise, and not just to arise, but to shine. To shine, for the light has come. And this light, of course, is the light of Christ. Last week we thought, as we looked in Genesis, that light came before the sun and the moon. Light was present. God was present in that. Christ was present in that time, shining into the darkness, separating and bringing his light. And his light has come now, as Christ came, lived amongst us, dwelt amongst us, and then returned to heaven. So he poured out his spirit upon all believers. And so his light shines. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. So we have a responsibility, and to look carefully at how we spend our time. Entertainment, hobbies, recreation. These things are not wrong in themselves. Far be it from me. I'm not saying, you know, you mustn't do any of these things. But they can become moral issues if we find that they begin to take over other things that maybe our time should be spent in or our commitment should be to. Who has first priority in our lives? That's a big question that these verses prompt us to ask ourselves. Who has first priority in our lives? Is it ourselves? This is what I want to do. I want to have a good time. I want to do this. It's okay me doing this. It doesn't affect anybody else. This is just what I want to do. Or is it God? What is it that God has given me this life for? How does he want me to spend it? What does he want me to be doing? Arise. And yet, as I say, it's not this alone. We're called to shine. And so that big question today is, do we reflect Jesus? Does his light within us shine out through us? We're called to shine, and that means being active, because it won't happen by itself. The commandment would not be to shine if we were automatically doing it. It doesn't say to breathe. We breathe automatically. The word does tell us to shine. You know yourself, and probably this Christmas time you've already started getting some of your decorations out, and if they've been wrapped up in newspaper, they've got a bit cloggy, haven't they? You know, they're a bit dusty or what. Well, they might not be dusty. They are in my house, but yours might not be. I appreciate that, but some of the print might have come off the newspaper. And they just need a wipe, don't they? So that the light, you put a candle inside it, and the light can shine brightly. In our lives, the candlelight, if you like, that's Jesus. But you know, how bright are we allowing him to shine? Christ's brightness is the same. It's how open we are for his light to shine through us that makes the difference of how bright we shine in the world today. Do you remember Moses' face when he'd been up the mountain? He'd been with the Lord. It was so bright he had to cover it over as he came back down again because people couldn't see, couldn't look at it. How bright are our faces shining for Jesus? How brightly do people see our lives as we go about our daily lives? How do we spend our time? What are our attitudes to others? You know, Christmas time is a tremendous test, isn't it, of patience. You know, the shops get crowded and it gets noisy and we get tired and we get a bit cross. And these are the times when our light should be shining the brightest. These are the times, you know, when, yeah, you go in front of me, it's okay. I don't mind you've got a huge trolley and I've only got these few things. You go before me, that's fine. How does our light shine? As I was preparing for this, I read about a young man who was being urged to sign up for two professional baseball teams. He was really good. He could have made thousands, if not millions of pounds. But instead, he chose to work bringing the gospel to the Chinese, getting by on a minimum subsistence, because that is what he believed God wanted him to do with his life. See, what are our priorities? What is it that we are seeking in this life? Are we seeking fame and wealth and accreditation? Or are we seeking to honour God, to love him and to love his people and for his light to shine through us? It's not easy, the pull of the world, to have more things, to measure our worth by our wealth, by our social standing, by our position at work, to work our way up to achieve a certain standard so that we can retire early and so that we have all this money that we can just sit about and enjoy ourselves. Is that really where we're going in our life? Or are we truly seeking to be God's people? To be out there in the darkness, sharing his light, reflecting his light, being at work, changing communities by the power of Christ within us, transforming our communities. This is what life on the front line is all about, making a difference where we are, day by day, with the people that we meet. But we are called to shine, and we won't do that if we follow the world system. I was reading the other day that 52% of financiers expect to make illegal transactions during their working life in order to keep their jobs. It's amazing. And yet this is the world, you see. This is the world standards. It's okay to do that as long as you get on in life. It's not to be the life for those who profess Christ as their saviour. And so, arise, shine, For your light has come, the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And here, this is the truth. The light has come. Whether or not we accept Jesus, whether or not we believe that and we have accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Saviour, the truth is that the Christ has come. This is the light that was promised in the past and is now present with every Christian believer, the light of Christ, the light of the world. And it doesn't matter for the believer how dark the circumstances. For the Christian, the truth is our light has come. And this is the difference between those who are in the world and those who are in God's kingdom. Because dark things happen to us wherever we are. Dark things happen because that's life. It's part of the human existence that goes on around us. And we know that we live in a fallen world. So things happen. People die. People get made redundant. Terrible things happen. But the difference between the Christian and the unbeliever or the non-believer is that for the Christian, they know that their light has come. And that in the midst of their darkness, Christ is present with them. They know that they have Jesus living within them. And even it might be so very, very small, almost non-existent, because our light can go down to a mere flicker, but our light is there. And our job and our responsibility one to another within the Christian community is to fan that flame back up again. And this is why we talk about exhorting one another and edifying one another and building one another up in the faith. Because life is not easy and things happen to us. And that light, the darkness seeks to quench the light. The darkness seeks to put the light out. But as God's people, we are called to fan the flame, to encourage it that it might burn brighter. And then to share that truth so that those who have no hope, those who do not know Christ, those who do not have that light within them, but that they can see the light. They can see the light shining around them, and that will draw them to the light. We say, don't we, that as Jesus is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. As our lives reflect Christ and the light of his presence, then people will be drawn, just as these scriptures say. Nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn. People will ask, how is it that in the midst of all of this, you can still be the person that you are, still have that peace, still have that contentment, still have that joy deep within, which isn't necessarily happiness. It's completely different joy and happiness. But it's that deep-rooted sense of knowing that we are in the palm of God's hand, that our names are engraved on his hands, and that we are safe. And it doesn't matter what happens to us in this world. One day, we will go to be with him. Easy to say, more difficult to work out in our daily lives. But that is the truth. Paul last week reminded us from John's Gospel in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see, we're not light ourselves. Christ is the light. It's his light that shines in us as we allow him full control in our lives. And that's what's so important. It's not sufficient to know about Jesus. It's not sufficient to know who he is. The demons know Jesus, but they're not saved. What is necessary is to admit that we have fallen short of who God has made us to be and to ask for his forgiveness and to ask him to come and to live with us and to have complete control in our lives. Anything less than that means that we are trying to be the light by ourselves and we won't do it. It's just not possible. There's only one way that we can be obedient to God's word, and that is by the power of his Holy Spirit within us. Amazing power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and it's freely available to each one of us. But if we try and do it in ourselves, then we won't do it. We will fail and people will see things about us. So it's living and allowing God's light to shine in us and through us. So what is your heart full of right now? Is it full of joy and love and peace? Or resentment and bitterness, unforgiveness, anger? You see, of ourselves, we can't get rid of those. And it's only the power of God that helps us. And for us to be God's children, our desire should be for them not to be in our lives. For us to be obedient to God means that we should be seeking to live lives that are forgiving, that are not angry, that are not bitter. Doesn't mean to say that we condone things that are done to us or done to other people. Doesn't mean that at all. But for us to hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment only brings a hardness within our hearts that causes problems and difficulties within our own lives. And we can't change that of ourselves. Absolutely impossible. But as we allow God's light to come into our lives, to illuminate those areas of darkness, those things that maybe we've shut the door on in our lives, might be things that happened years and years and years ago, and oh, that's done, and we've kind of concreted over it. But it's still there, deep down, and every now and then it has the opportunity and the potential to cause us hurt. These are the things that God wants us to open the door and to allow his light to come into, to reflect it. Do you remember the picture that Paul gave last week of the rats? You know, you don't know that the rats are down there in the cellar till you put the light on and you see all these pink eyes and then they disappear. Ugh. That's how I felt last week. That's why I remembered it so well. We don't want any rats, do we? We don't want any of that thing. We want to be rid of it so that the light can shine and flow through us. Maybe you have asked Jesus to be your saviour. Have you invited him to be Lord? Have you given him control of your life? Or are you still in control? I'll do this. I'll do that. I'm not going to go there. I want to go this way. Who is in control of your life? This is not a statement that Isaiah is giving here. It's a prophetic word. This is how it can be. Not necessarily how it is. We have a choice. The Lord rises upon you. His glory appears over you. We have a choice whether that glory is taken into us and reflected out. God has given us free will. We can choose to love and serve him, or we can choose to go our own way. But it's only by following Christ that we will be transformed and his light will shine from us. Because otherwise we're depending on ourselves. And as I've said, ultimately, that will fail. Living in God's presence changes our lives. And it's as we allow him to change and direct our thoughts, our words, our actions, that his light is seen in us. It's not easy. And we do slip back into old ways of thinking, patterns of behaviour. But always we come back to God and we set off again. We don't look to others in order to feel good about ourselves. Well, I'm better than she is. You know, I'm not doing so bad really, because compared to what she's doing. We don't measure ourselves against others. There's only one who we look to, and that's Jesus. He does have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And we are called to seek God's calling in our lives. What is it that he wants us to be doing? Each one of us, not just the leaders, you know, each one of us, what is God calling us to do? And then to pursue it with our whole being. And God isn't troubled by the darkness like we are. In our vulnerable moments, we can take our eyes off him and we look around and it seems so massive, so unchangeable. You remember Peter on the water, he got out of the boat and he was fine until he looked around at the sea and he saw the waves, and that was when he began to sink. And it's sometimes that the darkness can invade us, and perhaps we've not had enough sleep or we're not feeling well, and then it all becomes huge. But God's not like that. He doesn't see the darkness like we see it. And it's in those very times that we feel vulnerable that we need to reaffirm our trust in God, to stand on the rock of our salvation and to know that God is in control. He is the light, and the darkness will never, ever be able to overcome it. God has chosen to reveal his light through his people, and we be determined by our actions how brightly that light will shine. Verses 3 to 5 are tremendous words of encouragement because, as I've said, as our light shines, others will be drawn to the light. And that's what the fruitfulness on the front line is all about. Sharing the light with those around us, transforming our societies as we stand up for truth and justice, as we walk in mercy. These are the things that will transform the lives of the people around us. We can sit down and draw up agendas, put 5-year plans together, get funding and decide projects. Without the Lord, it'll go nowhere. Prayer is vital to the ministry and mission of any fellowship. And I can't stress enough the need for this fellowship to be in prayer. I know you're saying she's at it again because I do it every time I stand up here, but it's absolutely vital because prayer is the life breath for God's people. It's the responsibility of the whole body to come together to seek the Lord and to discern his purposes. Arise and shine. They're God's commands, they're not mine. Do you know God's light within your heart? Or are you just trying to, well, not just, but are you trying to live a good life but in your own strength? How are you allowing God's light to become stronger in your life? What about your prayer life? Reading God's word, meditating on it. The books out there, the Bible study books, Bible reading notes are out in the hall. Those little Advent books that we gave out last week. I've got a whole number of different Bible books, study books that you can read. And there's some out there. If you want to take one, then please feel free to do so. It's so important to be in God's word. It's like our bread that we need to eat. It's the food to meditate on it, not just a quick reading. And it's easy when you have Bible notes because there's a little verse to read and then there's a bit to read that tells you about the verse. It's a lot easier to read the nice stories that tell you about the verse and the anecdotes than what it is to read the word. It's the word that's vital. It's the word that changes us. As we take the word into ourselves, that is how we change. The truth is, the light has come. The prophetic word is, the Lord will rise and his glory will appear upon you. The question is, how will we respond? So I'd like us to think about our lives this morning and to think about, are we living in the light or are we in the dark? How much is Christ's light upon us? How much is Christ's light within us? How much is Christ's light shining out into the world around? And as we think about that, we're going to sing our next song, which is the one that we practiced at the beginning of the service.